Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I feel uneasy about it, keeping things from him. But I need to contribute. I need to feel that I'm a part of the solution to our problems, you know?
You know how I feel about that? Good for you. Every woman in her right mind should have a little stash of her own if she can. I mean, just in case. I've had two accounts that Hollywood don't know nothing about. Good for you, baby. And everything is going to be all right.
For you diehard fans of the series Queen Sugar, you heard that exchange between Darla and Aunt Vi at the diner during the latest episode. Even if you don't watch the show, for the married folks and the folks who want to be married, or for the folks who were, you've started already, you know how tricky the money conversation can be when you're honest about everything. But what about when you're not? Oh my goodness, that can open up a whole can of worms. Well, joining me tonight to talk about that can of worms is Tara Jackson, financial expert and author of Financial Fornication, Avoid Financial and Credit Disease, and psychologist minister Dr. Aldewan Tart. We're going into the whole can of worms, especially that can of worms that's above the sink where you keep your money. Is it right to keep your money situation from your spouse? Is that something you should do? Is it the right thing to do, men or women? We are talking about it tonight. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Boy, I tell you, Dr. Tart, Tara,
yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm well. And we know each other, so we're excited about talking about this.
Yeah, I don't know. You can be excited if you want to. Yeah, I'm trying to keep the doc off the sofa. So, Tara, let's talk about that little conversation between Aunt Vi and Darla. Do you agree with Aunt Vi? Should she have an account that she, two accounts, that Hollywood, you know, that's her boo, that's her guy that he doesn't know about?
Well, I think we all had that conversation with an Aunt Vi. I had it with my mom, Jean, with my grandmother, who told me that, you know, you be honest about your finances, but you always keep something on the side because you never know what's going to happen. And so it's one of those things. Should you be completely financially monogamous, or should you have some financial side pieces? You know, it just depends on the situation. I wrote a book about it, Four Financial Languages. So it really depends on the situation. If I feel that there is a need for me to have something, and I don't tell my significant other, that's a trust issue. A lot of savers who speak the financial language of savers that are married to spenders, they are fearful that the spenders will spend their money, so they may stash some cash. That is not unusual. If anyone, whether it's a woman or a man, if they don't feel safe in the relationship and that it might not go the way they want it, they may put some, you know, stash some cash. So it's not unrealistic, but, you know, I've been in relationships where I told them that I have a separate account where I put my extra money. As long as, you know, the money that we have takes care of the house bills and everything like that, you know, I may be saving up for something that I don't want to affect the household bills. So it's not to say that you always have to hide it, but depending on the situation, you may or may not want the significant other to know about it.
Well, see, that, and I think that's different because you said you've been in a relationship where you said, yeah, I have a separate account. Okay, so you've already disclosed that information, but, you know, Dr. Tart, that seems to me to be a different thing from not disclosing or hiding a separate account that your spouse doesn't know about, from, you know, from the perspective of a minister. What do you say? Is that the way that you should go into a marriage?
Hell, you already know the answer is no. Absolutely not. It's the sickness that we have as, you know, black people, and coming from trauma, from us being seriously, you know, when we start talking about trauma, people have been betrayed when it comes to money. People have heard horror stories about how something happened with the husband and they had a divorce, or he passed away, and there was no security. There was no fun. There was no means to secure one another. And so we come from a lot of times positions of pain. But what we really want to do, because I know what listeners want, is let's talk about coming together as one flesh. We're coming together to build wealth. It's the number one way for us to build wealth as a people is marriage. All right, two incomes coming in ideally, and that means that we have to be open and having money conversations that are transparent about what you have, what I have, and I think, you know, more optimistically about what we can do as a team to pay down debt and or build wealth. I want to talk about it. You know what? My wife said that. She said her grandmama said, you know, to have a little something in case something goes wrong. And I said, do you? And she said, yes. We went to the financial planner, and I was like, is this fair? And we had a therapy session, and then she talked about it, and now we have no more hidden money. It is all on the table, and we've actually been able to build wealth because we had conversations that most couples just don't have. So I think, yes, put it all on the table so you can work together as a team to work as a unit.
I agree with Dr. Tart, but some of us are just not there.
You're coming for me.
I'm coming, you know. Out of love and respect for my brother, Al Dewan, way back before he was, you know, minister. I believe what he says should be the case. I also believe there's a lot of people that it just ain't there yet, and that's why I wrote that book, Four Financial Languages. Because based on how you think, how you talk, how you interpret about money will determine how you're going to communicate, if you're even going to communicate about money with your significant other or your spouse. And so that's why savers and spenders argue about money, because they speak different languages. And when they conflict, one of them is going to shut down. And are they going to be wise enough to say, you know what, we're trying to build wealth, and we're trying to be like Dr. Tart and his wife, and we're going to put it all on the table? I wish there was a lot of people that would say that. I wouldn't have written the book if they would. So.
Yeah, but hold on, though. First of all, because I'm thinking, you said a lot of people aren't there yet. And if they're not there yet, then maybe they're not there yet with the marriage.
True. There's a lot of people that get married that really shouldn't be married because they have other secrets other than money.
Okay, that's another. That's another show.
That's a whole another show.
That's a series.
I think the key is, how do we talk about money, right?
Yeah.
How do we talk about money? And so people don't think about, part of premarital is actually talking about money. And I found with clients that once you give them worksheets and things to do, it actually opens up conversations. Like, tell me about what money meant to you as growing up as a child. Tell me what enough money is for you. Tell me what money means for you. Is it access? Is it power? Is it security? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give the listeners a resource. You know, I want y'all to text the word marriage. Just text the word marriage to 470-741-7831.
Hold on, Doc, because, you know, folks are driving. So what's that again?
All right, so text the word marriage to 470-741-7831. I'm going to send you a document that I use with clients on how to actually talk about money so that you don't argue about it. Because when couples are actually able to have deep conversations, like growing up for me, you know, not for me personally, but for growing up for me, These are the type of questions. Growing up for me, what kind of gender roles did we have around money? Growing up for me, not having enough money meant this. Growing up for me, I learned this about money. And so when couples start having those conversations, they're able to actually have the conversation comfortably and be able to listen so that they can merge their ideals and their histories into one to create the same mindset around money.
I will make sure that that texting information is on our website, as always, after 8:30 tonight. But I need to go to the phone lines. Of course, we are talking about financial honesty with your spouse. Are you telling them everything about your money, or if you're planning on getting married? Are you completely open and honest about your attitudes about money, about how you spend, what you may have on the side? Or do you have, as Tara has said, a financial side piece that you're not talking about? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Walter, calling from Northeast D.C. Thanks for calling, Walter. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Mr. Washington. How are you?
It's actually Fisher.
Mr. Fisher, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right, Melvin.
How are you and Jeff doing?
Go ahead, Walter.
Okay.
I got you.
I'm a 58-year-old single black man.
Okay.
No, I ain't getting married.
Oh, dear.
Because the thing about it is, I remember how today's modern women, they can earn their own money, where in traditional women, they usually stay home and they depend on the husbands to be the financial carrier. But when my mother, who's 92, she took care of the kids and she went back to work. Financially, my father took over until if my mother felt like she was being, I want to work for myself. I want to make my own money. So when they say that for richer or for poor, think about if your mate has more money.
Walter, you're going to have to keep it short.
Okay, I'm just saying it's no longer where women only marry for men. If they're rich, if they're poor, you can forget about it.
What?
What?
I'm a woman on here, and I take full offense to that, but okay.
No, what? But I'm saying because modern today's women are doing it for themselves. They listen to feminism, Terry McMillan, all these women say, I could do for myself. Why I need a man for? And they're right. Why
well,
do
I'm sorry,
men need
you,
a woman
I'm
for? It's not companionship.
I'm sorry
that
confused.
You are meeting the wrong women.
I'm single, and I haven't dated. I've been celibate.
Yeah,
so that's my choice.
That could be why. But
no,
are
you saying that because of my attitude?
No,
Hold on, Walter, because I'm still trying to understand.
I'm not arguing with him. I'm just saying that.
I'm trying to understand his point. So hold on. So you're saying, Walter, that women only marry for money? Is that your point?
When they scheme it, yes.
You said they scheme it.
Yes. When they see a man who's making millions of dollars, that's when they do it.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be a woman hater because I listen to the exhale women, all these women with that attitude, and then when they marry a good man, they ruin it.
Okay.
Let me have
Tara respond to that as the representative for every woman on the planet.
I already know where she's going.
So.
Aldewan knows me too well. So, again, I have to say that it feels like that response is coming out of a pain or an experience that he's experienced, because not all women are the same. Like, I don't want to have to marry someone for money. I hope it would be more than that, and money is an aspect to help us to take us where we want to go. And I'm single, and I've never said I'm going to marry a man that has the most money. That's just not who I am. And if that's the women that he is connecting with, then that is an issue with him, because I can't sit here and say that all men are just marrying a dime piece. And if you're not a size 2, they don't want to marry you. So I would never say that. So for him to say that, I have to respectfully disagree.
No, because here's what I'm saying. All my sisters.
Hold on. To one and all, I've got to take a break. I'll let you debate this point. Also, we need to let Sly come in after the break as well, calling from Fredericksburg. Ooh, boy. This is really interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I really disagree with you, Walter, but, you know, I'm an incurable romantic. What can I say? We're going to take a break, but we're going to continue this conversation about, are you telling the truth when it comes to your money and the conversations that you're having with your spouse or the spouse that you're planning on having? Financial fornication. Is that something that you're doing, or are you open and honest? 202-319-7810, the original Quiet Storm, coming up on WHUR. But this discussion continues in a few seconds on SiriusXM Channel 141. We'll be back in a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. We are talking about your money and her money and his money, their money. Are you telling the truth when it comes to money and your relationship? Are you being honest with your spouse or the spouse that you plan on having? My guests are Tara Jackson. She is a financial expert, also psychologist and minister, Dr. Aldewan Tart. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Real quick, Dr. Tart, your thoughts about what Walter is sharing with us. I must admit, and I agree with what Tara is saying, I think his attitudes or his thoughts come from a place of pain, whether it be emotional pain or financial pain or both, but then there's that. But, you know, what do I know?
And I think we all are discerning that he represents actually a growing body of men, especially men that follow that Kevin Samuels, you know, YouTube and that movement, that these are men who are hurting. These are men that feel passed by. These are men that are believing the social media that women only want a man for his money. That men need to make six figures, they need to be 6 feet, they need to have a six pack, and they're feeling bypassed. It's actually a term, all right, called men going their own way. I mean, if you look it up, it's interesting, all right? So it's this whole movement of men who are lonely, and they don't want to be alone, but they feel like they do not measure up to the standards of women. And so we look at it in our community, our sisters are making a lot of money. You know, Tara I'm going to get a loan from her. She's killing it. She is madly successful, right? Our sisters are very successful. So if you look at it and you want to be a quote-unquote alpha male or a provider, and you cannot provide to the level that you believe that black women want, there is some anger and some displaced, you know, rage towards our sisters because of insecurities with a lot of brothers who feel like they can't bring their personalities, their character, the way they date, their spontaneity, other things other than material things to the table. So yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. It sounds like he's in that tribe that's somewhat lonely and bitter, and just believe in the false narrative that sisters do not value him.
The only thing I would have to say before we move on, because I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but I would say, if the only thing that you, when you look in the mirror and the only thing that you see of value is money, then you really need to reevaluate who you are. Because if she, whoever she happens to be, if you're meeting women who, as you say, Walter, make their own money, if finances are not an issue for them, then you want them to still want you, because the money is not the issue for them, which means that you got to have a whole lot more to offer them than a checkbook for them, you know, to want you. But that's, like I said, that's just my thing. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sly, calling from Fredericksburg. What's on your mind? Sly, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Okay, so, Tara, when do you believe that you should start talking about money and the dating process?
Okay. So I wrote a whole book about it called The Four Financial Languages. Just go to madammoney.com, madammoney.com. And I just want to make one comment to the previous point. My comment as a woman is boo-hoo, because women have felt the same way for years and years and years. Now men are feeling it, and it's some kind of a way. But okay. When you should start having a conversation about your personal finances is when you feel like this is going somewhere. You don't have to just come out and say, oh, yeah, what's your credit score? Or, oh, yeah, how much you have in your bank account or anything like that. You start talking about what are your future goals? You know, what are your family goals? What are your financial goals? Have those conversations and make sure that you're going in the right direction, because you could be having a money conversation prematurely. And when one person says, oh, yeah, they're really well off, I need to get with them, then that could, you know, not end up the right way for you. So at least know that you want to be in a relationship, you are committed to be in a relationship, and you're committing to learn more about each other so you can see where this is going to go. But I don't think that it's something that, you know, after you date three times, you need to talk about finances. I could date someone six times and then realize they're just not the one for me. So when you're ready to take it to the next level, that's when you should have those conversations. And it's not just a financial conversation. It could be past hurts. It could be, you know, family issues. It could be several different things. But the financial thing is one of the important factors that should be discussed.
Well, I only want to talk about the financial piece. I don't want to talk about that. Like I said, that's another show, the emotional. I don't want to talk about that. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking right. Specifically about the financial stuff. And to that point, Dr. Tart, are there things that you should be looking for when there are financial things, spending and the like, yeah, that you should be looking for? Because I guess, you know, on one hand, I think personally that it may be rude or inappropriate for you to, as they say, count someone else's money when you are in, you know, the dating process, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, just, and people are, and it's, and I think it takes a certain kind of person to really stay away from that kind of thing. And I'll give you an example. A lot of times, you know, particularly in this area where you have a lot of federal government workers who do exceptionally well. Many of them are single men, many of them are single women, you know, well-educated people and the like, and they're living in, you know, high on the hog and McMansions and the like, and all of those kinds of things. And on one hand, you may have someone who may live quite frugally, but they got a lot of money in the bank, they've got a lot of money. They've been working on their retirement for years, if not, you know, decades. And then you have some people, and we've had this conversation on this show for quite some time, about people who look really, really good, but, you know, as they say, don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. And, you know, so what should you look for when you are in that dating process, when it gets beyond just the getting to know someone and you're really, really digging on this person, or this person is really kind of digging on you, and you begin to look at some of those things, but you're not at the point of having the discussion?
I mean, Harold's an excellent question. I mean, and you know, I'll say it, you know, a lot of men are offended when women ask on the first couple of dates about credit scores, or it feels like you're being interviewed based on your net worth. All right.
Right.
So it's really about mindset. You're looking for someone that has the same mindset or a healthy mindset around finances. Are they willing to build with someone? Are they willing to be open and transparent about their debt? Are they willing to have a growth mindset about learning something new about making your money work for you? Are you willing? So say you get with someone who is, say you're dating a woman who does well with finances because that's her area of gifting. Are you willing as a man to sit down and listen to her educate you about investing? All right. Are you willing to have an intelligent conversation about cryptocurrency? Are you willing to sit down and talk about stocks? You know, are you willing to learn? So it's really about mindset, because let's be honest, you know, most people don't come from money. But in this day and age, because we have access, you can make as much money as you desire to make based on your mindset. And having a partner who understands your mindset and y'all develop a mindset together, whatever income bracket you're in, you can come together and figure out how to attack debt, how to pay for college, how to build wealth mm-hmm. together, how to generate businesses, how to do Turo. Let's just keep it real. Are we going to do Bitcoin, Ethereum? What are we going to mm-hmm. Let's sit down and come up together. So you're looking for someone who's willing to have a conversation and be open-minded and learn together. That's what people are looking for. Someone to partner mm-hmm. with me wherever I am, hold me accountable on the things I need to get strong on, and then let's partner together to build wealth and legacy as one.
202.
Hold on.
Let me grab this phone call real quick, Tara, if I may. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Pamela, calling from D.C. What's on your mind?
I would like to respond to the gentleman that called in and said women only marry men for money.
Mm-hmm.
I guess as a woman who is very well situated from real estate investments.
What does that mean, Pamela? Well situated.
Well situated financially.
Okay, what does that
mean? A lot of people underestimate me, so they don't realize how much depth I have in the financial area. And I find that I meet men, and sometimes because they get to know things that I have acquired, they start to think that maybe I've been a gold digger in the past, and it's because the man gave it to me. Mm-hmm. But that's not true at all.
For you.
And then when I meet the men that do have money,
mm-hmm.
they usually want to control you, or because I am an over 50 person, they either want to control you, which that's not going to happen for me, or they really want a younger woman so they can dazzle them with their money. So it's a really complicated situation. And I do take offense, just like the woman on the show, to men saying that women marry for money. Not all women mm-hmm. want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly wouldn't want a man to marry me for money.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I obviously there are... there are women who do that. There are men who do that, obviously. But I would say that maybe I just believe in people too much. That I would think, as I said, if you have your stuff, and I have my stuff, that. I think that the money piece is a conversation down the road, and you really want to, just kind of look and figure out whether or not I like you or you like me. And then maybe as Dr. Tart and Tara have been saying, that, you figure out attitudes, about money and whether or not you're willing to share, information. And I think that... Tara, that may be more telling than anything. Not so much what you have, But mm-hmm. how you got it, I think that may be more comforting to me. Coming from a woman like Pamela. Okay, Pamela says she made her wealth via real estate. Well, she may not tell me that she has $5 million in the bank, but as she said, she is well situated. And I like
the way she said that.
She's financially well situated, mm-hmm. and maybe you can be well situated too.
Well, let's just say it's hard pressed for me to find a gentleman who is well situated that wants to be on an equal level.
So here's my question for you,
and I agree.
Pamela.
I agree with her. I'm in that same situation. I agree with you.
So here's my question, Pamela, for you: if he is, you know, and this comes back to the equally yoked thing, and you know, the folks of faith and all of that, but. But what if he is, if he's fine where he is? I mean, you know, he's got good credit, his bills are paid, but he's not, you know, big pimping like Pamela.
But he's well situated.
But he's well situated.
He's well financially situated. If he's paying his bills and he's good, and Pamela, you correct me, but that's a financially well situated. He's good, so he's not looking to pull on someone else's, but I'll let Pam answer that.
Well, yeah, because it may not be.
Well, let me just address that. I mean, I've met men who were interesting, who didn't equal me on a financial level, but when they come to understand over a period of time things that I may have, it seems to be a turnoff in a way. And like I said, some of them don't understand how I acquired what I have. They don't believe that I've done this on my own. So it's like, well, you know, how did you get that? Or where did that come from? And I did date a gentleman that was, he's actually one that taught me how to do what I did, but he did not give me what I have. And he is now deceased. Mm. And so I get offended when that becomes the conversation. And when they, you know, when I say, well, you know, I just, you know, I had a good teacher and I learned how to do this and how to acquire things, they don't seem interested anymore. It's like an intimidation thing almost.
So let me ask you this, Pamela. Have you been married?
I have not been married, but I had a long-term partner that I lived with who is now deceased.
Right. Okay. Because that was kind of the premise, because I'm always, and I think you've already, you know, spoken about this. I'm assuming, but let me not assume, that even with your long-term partner, because this person, do you believe that your long-term partner that you were living with told you everything about his finances?
Yeah, I do think he told me everything about his finances. And in the end, because we weren't married and he got extremely sick, his sister actually became the person that inherited everything. So I didn't get anything from mm-hmm. him.
Did you tell him everything about your finances?
Oh, he knew everything about me because he helped me by teaching me what I should do.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's the piece, you know, Tara, that, and I think Pamela is the prime example of, you know, he told her because it appeared that he believed that he trusted her, married or partnered or whatever.
Right. And we had a very good relationship, and he taught me. Like, one of the first things he taught me is never buy a new car, right? So I never buy a new car. I buy nice cars, but I buy them used. The other thing he mm-hmm. taught me was rental property pays for your primary property, mm-hmm. which I never mm-hmm. understood that until I met him.
Yeah. So what do you think, Dr. Tart?
I don't think she has to apologize.
I don't think she should either.
No, she didn't.
No, so she just came for Walter.
That's attractive. A woman is able to
to build wealth, that's attractive to men who are secure.
Exactly.
I have a partner.
Exactly.
This is my partner, right? This is my partner, and she's well off. A man who's secure is going to say, hey, well, if you know about real estate, I know about stocks. Maybe you go ahead and build up our real estate portfolio. I'll build up our stock portfolio. I'm so glad that I met a woman who's financially savvy to partner so that we can do well.
Yeah,
only an insecure man is going to have a problem with that.
Say again.
That's fine. For me, that's a hard thing to find. Like I said, the older gentlemen who are in, you know, well situated, as I say, sometimes they want to control you, or they want much younger women. Now,
you're coming from a position of pain as well. So, like, similar to Walter, you're coming from a position of pain. But there are men out here who are offended by that. Like, they do not want to control. They are well off.
And I wish
they want to partner with a woman that has the same mindset,
right,
to build wealth, to have legacy, to make our money work for one another,
right,
to be able to give money to the church, to create legacy for our generational wealth. That's where we are. So I would say, you know, up the standard for the men that you date, because there are men that are listening right now that are simply looking for a woman who has that mindset, who also meets everything they're looking for as far as a wife. These men are out here.
I mean, I don't think I have low standards. I mean, I'm a little offended that you think I have low standards.
I didn't mean low standards.
I meant
like all men. I meant simple statement about controlling.
Okay. Okay, so I have something to interject on both sides there. I agree with Tamla because I have upped my game, and when men see, you know, find out that I'm mad at money, they get ghosts because they're intimidated. And there's a lot of men that are intimidated. Now, if you are strong,
Hold on, let her finish. Go ahead.
For a strong man, and I have some strong men in my life that are not intimidated by that, but, you know, they're not available or whatever. It's finding a man that's available that is strong enough in who they are and what they are, that is strong enough to be with me or be with someone like Pamela, that's not going to try to take over or feel like they have to control because they don't, you know, they lack in other areas. So I believe that there are men out there. Pamela and I are just like, where the hell are they? Like, we're just looking for them.
Okay, so, all right, so here's my question, and here's, and I think, and this is for Pamela, and this is for the well-situated women, and then I'll have to let Pamela go, but I've seen this. Okay, Pamela, you want to go to Paris, okay?
Right.
He can't afford that. Mm-hmm. He's fine. I mean, he's well situated, but and he has a passport. But his money, as they say, his money's not long like yours. You all are dating. You all are close, but you're not living together. You know, and you want to go to Paris. You want him to go with you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But he says, yeah, I can't afford that.
Well, I mean, I'm going to speak. Pamela, let me speak, and then you can respond. Okay?
No. I said, no. Tara, I said, Pamela.
Okay, go on, Pamela.
So, if you're asking me that question, it depends. Maybe I would do something like that for his birthday, you know, as a present or something. But
I'm not talking about a present. I'm talking about that's the difference. There's the rub, because now you're talking about, you talked about strong men, secure men. No,
Pam, I told you to let me answer that for you.
I said, Tara, hold on, stop. Hold, wop, 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 wop. I said, Pamela. And I said, I'm not talking about, this is where it gets into the weeds. And this is the financial conversation.
No, I don't think it gets
gets into the weeds.
You
I
said
think
you no. You said maybe it. As a pre. You said as a present. As a present.
Right.
No,
right.
This isn't about a present. This is about your relationship with him and your relationship to money.
Well, you have to get
money.
Your relationship status first. Okay.
Right. So assume, like I said, you all are close, but you're not living together. You know, you and so my question is, you said, you know, we've been together for 6 months. We've done this. We've been to New York. We've been to Miami. You know, we've had a good time. I'm digging you. You feeling me? Gosh, I want to go to Paris. Whoa.
Well, I would say that.
And there's no right or wrong answer. There's just your answer.
Obviously it is. You didn't like her first answer.
No, because I couldn't hear her because you were talking. Please, Pamela, answer the question.
Okay, so what I said initially is, yes, I would. If I thought he didn't have the money and I wanted to go to Paris, then I would give him a trip to Paris as a gift, whether it's a birthday or just a spontaneous gift, because I wouldn't want him to feel like he had to pay me back if I chose to do that. But some men you can't do that with because they start to feel a little like, you know, oh, my God, you know, paying for this and paying for that. And, you know, you don't want to do that. I mean, I find that men have to be secure in who they are and feel like they are men no matter the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I see.
Yeah. And I think that goes, and Dr. Tart, I think that goes to the heart of the broader conversation. Sometimes, as she said, and I think rightly so, that yeah, some guys try to control her situation, and for her to object, I think she has every reason to object. But then some guys, they just want to know. You know,
yeah.
They, you know, sometimes she, you know, they don't want to control, but they just want to be informed.
Okay, right. Well, I wish I could meet that person who was secure and just wanted to be informed.
They're out there because a man, first of all, a wise man is going to sit up and say he doesn't have the means. He's going to say, okay, how did you accumulate this wealth? And he's going to allow you to educate him. And okay, rental properties. Okay, educate me about these Airbnb so that when he's able to save his money, instead of putting it in the savings account, he's actually able to have his money be invested in some of these rental properties. Because I tell you what, just to be real, you know, married men are happier, healthier, and wealthier. They're wealthier just for practical reasons because it's two incomes coming in versus one set of bills. But they're also wealthier because they listen to their wives. And if you have a wife who is financially savvy, or she says, hey, let's go to this real estate seminar, or hey, let's look at this seminar on Bitcoin, or let's figure out what's going on with this Turo business, or let's figure out X, Y, and Z, a savvy man is actually going to sit down and listen and be able to build wealth. There are a lot of men that came into the marriage with a little bit of money, and now that they listen to their wives and they've grown together, now they're wealthy. Because I'm going to tell you what the statistics show. Even well-off women want the option to work.
Yeah, but I would also say, you know, having been there, done that, that I do believe that he isn't the only one who needs to listen.
True.
And I would say that there does have to be a meeting of the minds and goals and what have you, and kind of. You got to figure out what the goals are, what you want, and work towards that. Tara, I'm going to let you have the last word.
Harold, I do want to say that if I was dating someone and I wanted to go to Paris and I had the means and he didn't have the means, like, whoa, that's too much. My question was, is that something we can start saving up for? Because if he has the mindset, wealth mindset, he may not have the means right now.
Yeah, but what if you do? But my question is, but what if you do have the means?
I have the means, right?
But
if I have the means, but he does not have the means, I can wait and say, okay, then let's wait up so we both have enough to go to Paris.
Now, see that. I like that. See, I like that too. Now, that is what I don't believe, because, you know, y'all sisters, y'all want what you want.
Again, you're talking out of place of hurt.
No,
I'm just... because not all women are like that.
I'm just messing with you. But,
you know... Hell stirs the pot. That's what it does, man. I'm highly entertained.
Considering the way I cook, I'm always stirring the pot, because what's in the pot always tastes good. Pamela, you know, hang in there. Keep the faith. We all do. Thank you so much for participating.
Pamela, I'm with you, girl. We gonna find them together.
Okay.
Hang in there.
Thank you.
You're not going to wait to go to Paris this year. You want to go right now.
Yes, she is.
She's not going to wait. Tara's not going to wait. She's not going to wait.
She's going to let him come for a day, and then he has to go back.
Yeah, she may go.
No, I'm playing.
She's going to go to Paris, Texas.
No, seriously, she actually will, because women want to not be in Paris by themselves, especially since you pick one of the most romantic cities in the world, right? So, because she want to go to Paris. She would have already been to Paris. She wants to go to Paris with her man.
Yeah, but check his credit score first. Look, Dr. Aldewan Tart, Tara Jackson, thank you both for talking to us. I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend. I appreciate your time.
All right, great show.
It's fun.
Bye. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, October 8th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, everyone, and please have a wonderful and safe weekend.